All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the faith chapter. Now, I don't know if you all realize this, but Pastor Aaron loves any kind of pie, any kind. And he was standing out in the hallway, and he smiles from ear to ear, and he says, Pastor, I got to help out here tonight with the pie, so I won't be on the platform. And I was just sitting here thinking, there better be some pies out there when we go. There had better be something. If he's sitting out there rubbing his belly and smiling, we're all going to beat him up, all right? Every one of us. We're all going to get him, that's for sure. All right. It just crossed my mind, you know. Mercy. All right, you're familiar with the faith chapter here. This chapter, if you look at verse 3, you will see that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In other words, God spoke, and everything that is came into existence. All right, and then he talks about all the various and sundry people throughout the Old Testament scriptures, and then eventually gets into the prophets, and all the way from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament scripture. And his argument is that all of this, all of these folks did what they did by faith. They had faith in the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. All right? Now, I want you to notice some things here. You have Abel. You have Enoch. You have in verse 7, Noah. You have in verse 8, Abraham. And then you have Jacob in verse 21. And then you have, just keep on coming down, you see Moses, and then down in verse 32, he said, what more shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and of the prophets. And he just goes on and tells the story, how that all of these people that are in this chapter did not just sail through life, everything hunky-dory, everything grand and glorious, everything wonderful and fruitful. No, these people struggled. They had their conflicts. They had their heartaches. They had their difficulties. Every one of them had something that they had to contend with in their lives. But the whole point of this chapter is that through their faith in the living God, they were able to overcome whatever challenge, whatever despair, heartache, hard times that they had to face. They were able to overcome them all simply because they had faith in the Lord. You see, your faith will take you a long way. It'll take you a long way. Now, I want you to be real honest here for just a moment. How many of you, honestly now, you'll say, Pastor, you know, the devil's been battling me, and I would just like to raise my hand and say that the devil's been fighting me tooth and nail, and I'd like to get some victory over the devil. Would you just be honest and raise? Yeah, that's what I thought. Can I put both hands up? All right. I got both hands up, if it's all right with everybody. The simple truth of the matter is, we're all having a difficult time. All right. There's not anyone in here who has a perfect situation. Not a soul in this room who has a perfect setup. No. The truth of the matter is, all of us have issues. It might be your job. It might be your health. It could be something in your family, your children or your grandchildren. It could be you dealing with your finances, or maybe your friends, or who knows what we have to endure. But as time passes, we realize the devil just works harder and harder to knock us down. He is never going to let up. I want you to understand that. The devil is never going to stop. He will pursue you and try to stand in your way. You say, well, Pastor, why doesn't he give up? Well, he's not going to do it because his goal is to drag as many souls to hell with him as he can. Now, you that are saved, he knows he cannot touch your eternal soul. So what he's trying to do to you is to get you weakened and to get you discouraged and to get you out of fellowship with God so that you do not have the spiritual fortitude or the spiritual strength to tell somebody else who is not saved how they can be saved. So that the devil just never lets up, does he? And he is always working, always working. You say, Pastor, it seems like, you know, he just gets more and more busy as time goes on. Yes, that's true. And we understand why in the book of the Revelation, when John said that the devil knows that he has but a short time. All right, he knows his time is limited. One thing's for sure, folks, the devil knows the Bible. Now, he twists it all the time, but he knows the Bible, and he knows what is coming, and so he is busy because he can read the signs, he can see what's going on, and the truth of the matter is he knows that he is coming to his end. And the truth is, folks, all of us are struggling. That's what is just so obvious in our world today. Now, I don't know about you, but with all of the struggles that we have to face, I don't know about you, but I sometimes get a little discouraged. Do you? All right. I'm glad it's not just me. I get a little discouraged sometimes. I don't know about you, but I get tired of fighting the devil. I get tired of fighting the battle, and I get tired of everything going wrong all the time. You know, I just want to step back sometime and say, Lord, would you just take him and bind him and throw him over in a corner for just 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Just give me 1 hour where he's not antagonizing my every thought and my every action. I get tired of the devil getting in the church that I pastor. I get so tired of that. I get tired of the devil sticking his old nose in our school and doing everything he can to disrupt and to mess up Carroll Christian Schools. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of all the problems that he creates and all the people that can't get along with one another and just et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm tired of it. I know you are too. We all are. We all are. Now, I want to read you a couple of verses here. Let's start in verse 24. And the Bible in verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So when Moses became a man, when he grew up and he became a man, he did not want to be considered one of Pharaoh's people. He wanted to be considered one of God's people. He wanted to identify with the people of God and not the idolaters of Egypt. And so look at what the Bible says. It says that he choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And folks, that's all that sin's going to give you, just a season. All right? It's a short-lived season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, now watch this carefully, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king of Pharaoh. For he, what's the next word?
Endured.
All right, so he just hung in there. He did not quit. He just stayed faithful and stayed at it. For he endured. Now, Moses, how did you do that? Well, look at it. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, folks, you can't see somebody that's invisible, right? You can't see somebody that's invisible. And we know that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All right? So if he could not see God, then notice what it says here. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, it doesn't say that he saw the invisible. You can't see the invisible. But he endured as if he had seen the Lord. As if he had seen the Lord. Please understand what that is saying. How'd you do it, Moses? Well, I've seen him by faith who is invisible. By faith, I've seen him who is invisible. And you know, that is exactly what I think all of us need in this day and age in which we live. We need to endure, not quit, but just hang in there, and we need to see him who is invisible. You know, all of our heartaches and our worries and all of our apprehensions and our discouragements, all of it would just vanish away if we could just see him who is invisible. Now, you're not going to see him physically with your eyes. You say, well, then how am I going to see him? Same way Moses did, by faith. You have faith in the one who is invisible. I don't know about how you feel about things, Christian, but I'm telling you, I don't want to read my Bible and there just be words on a page. You know, I don't want that. I don't want to just stand out like those like those guys did in Elijah's school of the prophets, and just beat the tree with the axe handle and make a lot of noise. You're not going to cut a tree down with an axe handle. You need the axe. You need the blade on the tip of it. All right. So I don't want to just make a bunch of noise in church. I don't want to just pray and have the prayers go no higher than the ceiling and then come back down and smack me on top of the head. I don't want to have so many fears and so many worries as I go through life that every time I turn around, I want to quit. You say, well, how are we going to endure through all that? Well, I think we need to see him who is invisible. I don't want to pray if I can't get a hold of heaven. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to read my Bible if I can't see him who is invisible. I don't want to preach the Word of God Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night if I can't see him who is invisible. Now, folks, let me explain to you here now what I'm talking about. May I remind you, Moses saw him in a burning bush. You with me? Moses saw him in a burning bush. Jacob saw him in a wrestling match at midnight. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw him in a fiery furnace. And then Daniel saw him in a lion's den. And Isaiah saw him in the temple high and lifted up. Stephen saw him standing at the Father's right hand. You say, I thought when Jesus went back to heaven, he took a seat at the Father's right hand. He did, but he stood up when Stephen was willing to die a martyr's death for the gospel of Jesus Christ, almost like going, congratulations, Stephen, come on in. Can you imagine seeing the Lord like that? Saul of Tarsus saw him in a blinding light on the road to Damascus. John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. And folks, I want you to know that what you and I need in these troubled times in which we live, in this time when our discouragements and our afflictions and our moments of despair, what we need is to get alone with God and leave all of our problems with him and look into the face of our Savior and see him who is invisible. Oh, I'm not talking about this charismatic chaos stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about visions and revelations and all the things that the devil's given people these days. I'm not talking about that foolishness. No, I'm talking about seeing him who is invisible. You're not going to see him with your literal eyes, but through eyes of faith, you can see him. Having his blessed presence so real in your life that you forget your problems, and you see only the solution to all of your problems, and then that gives you a new and fresh power and victory so that you can go on and do something for God. You know, most of us, the only thing we can see is our own chaos. Isn't that right? All we see is our own problems. And we need to start seeing him instead of our own problems. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Didn't say he saw the invisible. You can't do that. You can't do that. It says he endured as if or as though he had seen the invisible. He endured as if he had seen Christ. And that's what will help us. Now, folks, listen. We need to see him who is invisible, or we're going to get away from God. It's just that simple. If we don't keep short accounts with God, if we don't see him who is invisible, our spiritual lives are going to grow so cold. So cold. Man, we see it all the time, don't we? You remember when you first got saved? Oh, you were so happy. You remember that? You were so excited. You were just ready to attack hell with a squirt gun. I mean, you were excited, right? But then after a while, we kind of learn how to be a Christian, you know? We just kind of learn how to be a Christian. And the tragedy is that most Christians don't feel that they need to look any further than their own salvation. But folks, we need to realize if we're going to endure through, this is the reason why you see so many of God's people who are just beaten down. Life just dumps on you, and instead of enduring, we crash underneath all the load. And we need to rise up. But the tragedy is there are just so many people who think that they don't have to look any further. I've actually had people say to me, Pastor, I'm saved, that's a plenty. I'm going to heaven. I'm okay. Well, how are you handling life? Well, not too good. Well, then you're not okay. Then you're not okay. I mean, folks, what happens is life gets on us, and we get our eyes off the one that we should be looking at, and we put our eyes on the problems, and then we get cold spiritually. We get indifferent spiritually, and we get hardened to the things of God and to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. I've seen that so many times through the years. And I just don't want a cold heart. I just don't want to sit back and just have the world piled on top of me and me sitting there gasping for air. I don't want that. I want to be the victor, not the victim. I don't want a cold heart. I just don't. When I graduated from college, in May, got married in August, and Karen and I served as a youth pastor at a church down in Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia. We were in South Carolina, just right across the river. I found myself, just hungering to preach, just hungering. And that pastor down there wouldn't let me preach anywhere, anything. He wanted me to string barbed wire and take care of his cows and his chickens. And I said, what'd you hire me for, to be a farmhand? I didn't spend 5 years in college learning how to be a pastor and then graduate to do farm work. And he said, well, you got to work your way up. I said, I've been working my way up. For the last 5 years, I've been working my way up. God called me to preach, not to feed cattle. And so we left, And we went to West Virginia and went to a little town that had no fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church in it, none, and we started building a church. We started it from scratch. And it was, I thought it was going to be just brutal to do it, but boy, it wasn't. It was so easy to do. I went into that little town and would knock on doors, and people were receptive to the gospel. I was amazed. I was told you couldn't do door-to-door soul winning anymore. And so I was expecting to get shut down, but no, that didn't happen at all. And I got the opportunity to lead a lot of folks to Christ. And then we pulled everybody together and had our first service and had 36 people there. 36 people. It was amazing. It was awesome. And so our little church took off. And we had 36 the first Sunday and then like 40 the next, and then 45, and then 60, and it just kept going. And pretty soon our building was full, and it was the talk of the county. I mean, it was really unbelievable how the Lord blessed and all the folks that got saved. And so... I would get up and preach. Now, mind you, I'm 22 years of age. And I would get up and I would preach, and I would notice that while I was preaching that people were taking a nap and others were writing mom a letter, you know? And then there were some others that were playing crossword, doing the crossword puzzle. And I thought, man, I thought we were at church, you know? And there was a guy named Bill Bennett, and he would just, as soon as I said, open your Bible, he would snuggle down and get ready to take a nap. And I would go over to where on his side and try to scare him and startle him, but nothing could reach that man. I mean, a trumpet blast in the ear would not have affected him. And I got hungry. I mean, I got hungry. I said, Lord, I know that your word is powerful. And I study and I prepare, and then I come in here and I preach my message, and out of 100 people, there are maybe 60 of them paying attention, and everybody else is watching the bird that's flying outside the window in the tree, looking in, trying to figure out how to get in here and get the fruit off of that woman's hat. And I just said, Lord, there's got to be more to this. There has got to be more to this preaching thing. And so I got hungry. And I used to just stay up at night and pray and say, oh God, help me. Lord, you've got to help me as I'm preaching your word. And I'm begging you and I'm pleading with you. And this went on for several months. I had a spot up behind where we lived. We lived in a trailer that the church rented for us. And I would walk back up on that hill. I couldn't do it today. No way. But when I was 22, up on the back of that hill, I went. And I would go back there and pray all afternoon. Just pray for God to bless and fill me and help me as I'd preach. I would prepare my sermons, and then I would go up on the hill and I would pray over that sermon, and I would beg God to bless that sermon as I preached it. And this went on for a couple of months, 3 or 4 months. And then one night I came down and I skipped dinner. I didn't want to eat. I was just so burdened. I did not want to eat. And so, Karen went to bed, and I said, I'll be in a little bit. And I went back into a little bedroom at the end of that trailer, and there was we had put a desk in there, and I used it as a home office. And I just pulled that chair out and knelt over that chair and begged and pleaded and cried and read my Bible and begged and pleaded and cried. And folks, I just was dying on the inside. Something has got to give. Lord, you've got to do something. Lord, I can't go in there and say, open your Bibles and have everybody go to sleep on me. Lord, I know that there will be unsaved people in that building tomorrow. And I would beg God to do something and save those souls. And we went to church the next morning. I was so excited when we got up. I couldn't wait to get to church. And I had that sermon ready. And I stood up and I delivered that sermon. And as soon as I said, open your Bibles, everybody just sort of flinched a little bit. And then I started preaching. And nobody went to sleep. And everybody was watching. And later I found out, I would see people leaning over and talking to one another. And I asked some of them, I said, what'd you say? What did you say to so-and-so? And then they would say, well, I said, something different about the preacher this morning. Something different about the preacher this morning. And several folks said that. And I was sitting over here in my chair waiting for the commotional service to be over. You know, the commotional part, that's the song part. I was waiting on the commotional part to get over so the emotional part could get started. And so I jumped up when it was my turn and just went crazy preaching the Word of God. And when I gave the invitation, I bowed my head and after extending the invitation, and I said, let's pray, and I bowed my head, and then I heard commotion. Now, mind you, it had been 9 months. Nobody walked those aisles. Nobody. 9 months. And that morning, while I was praying, I heard all this movement. And I did what all of you do when you hear movement. I raised my head up and looked. And here they were coming down the aisles. And they got on their faces before God, and people were weeping for their children and weeping for their husbands and weeping for their lost sons and daughters. I mean, it was amazing. The invitation lasted better than a half an hour. And mind you now, it's Sunday morning. Man, you don't, I mean, 12 o'clock on the dot, you better be done, because they were. They're done at 12. Hey, don't shake your head at me about them. You're the same way. Amen. And so, I don't know what it was. Well, I do know what it was. It was the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And I just realized at that moment that I had seen Him who was invisible. And folks, there have been so many times in the 45 years that I have been pastoring, there have been so many times where I have had to just go and get by myself and do the whole thing over again. Just get alone with God and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Folks, when I came here to pastor this church, that's exactly what I did. I took a whole day and I got alone with God, opened the Bible, read the Bible, prayed for God to give me wisdom to handle this church and to give me the power of God as I proclaimed his wonderful word. Now, folks, listen. There is absolutely no difference between me and you. If I need God's help, you need God's help. You see, I'm standing up here tonight and I'm looking at Sunday school teachers. And I'm looking at choir members. And I'm standing up here and I'm looking at deacons. And I am looking at bus workers. And I am speaking and preaching to folks that have lost family members. And you've tried everything you can to reach them, and they're still not saved. Can I suggest to you that you decide that you're going to walk with God, that you're going to get alone and endure as seeing him who is invisible? Why don't you just make up your mind that you're going to make a change? It's not going to be the same old that it's always been. And you're going to do something different. You know, if what you're doing is not working, that's not rocket science, is it? That's not rocket science. Now, folks, I tell you, some of you have been saved for 30, 40, 50 years, and you know the Bible, and you've heard all the sermons, but the truth is, your fire has died down. You've lost your zeal. You've lost your soul-winning passion. You don't weep anymore. You don't have that zeal for the Lord that you used to have. I mean, you haven't been on your knees at the altar to pray for your loved ones or for your wife or for your children or for revival in the church for so long you can't even remember when the last time your own soul was stirred. I'm telling you, folks, we need to endure. God just might send a revival if we'd get on fire for him. You teenagers, you young people, you know, man, don't wait. Don't sit here and say, well, I'll serve the Lord when I get out of school, when I get out of college. No, serve him now. Serve him now. Get a jump on it. Serve him now. You just don't know how the Lord is going to use you. It's really rough when we get hardened. That's just a terrible, terrible way to get. Hardened to the truth. Hardened to the gospel. I mean, I know that some of you teenagers, you go to school here, and then you go to church here, and you just feel like you're here all the time. All right, you just feel like you're in church all the time. And I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous feeling for you to get. Because you get at ease in Zion then. You know? I'm going to say this, it's not going to be very popular, but I'm going to say it anyway. The easiest place to backslide on God is in a Christian school. That's the easiest place. You can get away from God faster than if you were in a public school and you had to take a stand for the Lord. They didn't have a Christian school when I went to school. And when I got saved, man, it was on. It was on. And I had to take several stands for God while I was in my junior and senior year of high school. I had to take some strong stands. But I'm glad I took them. I'm glad I did that. And I tell you what we need to do. We need to wake up and realize that we have an issue. And then fix it tonight. Fix it tonight. Turn your heart towards the Lord. If you're lonely, you need to see Him who is invisible. If you are backslidden, you need to see Him who is invisible. If you have a rebellious streak in you, you need to see Him who is invisible. And I would recommend you get that streak fixed before you hit life. Or you're going to have problems. If you are a parent, you need to see Him who is invisible. If you are a Sunday school teacher, you need to see Him who is invisible. If you are an usher, you need to see Him who is invisible. If you are a deacon, you need to see Him who is invisible. If you have a need, you need to see Him who is invisible. If you don't have a broken heart for sinners, you need to see Him who is invisible. If you're unhappy with yourself and with where you are and with who you are and with what you are, you need to see Him who is invisible. I run into more people, I mean adults and teenagers, who are unhappy. They're unhappy. Happiness is not a state of mind, folks. Happiness is a state of heart. The Bible says, happy is the man whose God is the Lord's. Your happiness does not depend on circumstances. It depends upon your walk with God. Let me remind you, Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. And you need to see Him who is invisible. We ought to sing with the songwriter, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. Sure, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Your heart's desire tonight, Christian, ought to be, Lord, every once in a while, I just need You to pull the curtain and just let me get a glimpse of Your glory. Wouldn't that be awesome? See Him who is invisible. Let's pray. Now, our Father, I pray You'll speak to our hearts. I pray You will give us conviction of heart tonight. Help us to look inward, to look at ourselves and see where we are and what we are and who we are. And Father, I know everybody's having a hard time. And everybody's worried what we're going to do this winter with heating bills and all the costs. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to endure as seeing Him who is invisible. Amen. But Father, we have to learn this, and then like Daniel, just make up our minds. This is what we're going to do. And so I pray for my church family tonight. And Father, I ask you to speak and bless and do a real work in every heart. Help us all to endure as seeing him who is invisible. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here tonight, God speaking to your heart, I want you to feel free just to get up, come to the altar at any time. You don't have to wait for the invitation. But how about it, young people? Won't you live for the Lord now? Don't wait. How about it, church member? Are you tired of reading that Bible and just be words on a page? Won't you come and get some help from God? Seeing him who is invisible. Are there others? If you can't kneel, just walk down here and sit on the front row. That's fine. You can just come down here and stand and pray. God can hear you. Enduring him who is invisible. Man, I need to see him, don't you? I need to see him.